Well, aloha, everybody. This is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio, and I started too soon, so I'm going to do that over again. So this is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio, and this is Friday, November 26, 2021. I've got a special guest tonight, and we're not going to do energy work. We're going to talk astrology with Dave Petrella. But before I bring him on, I want to remind everybody that December 24th, in a month, we're going to do the Quantum Leap event. So I'm going to start listing the chants down. And if there is anything you want us to chant, then let me know and I'll add it to it. Now it's that simple. So put it on your calendar and check out the World Enlightenment Forum. That's worldenlightenment2021.org. And, you know, I put daily stuff on there that we can all participate in. You can make comments and share what you're going to do on that day. So let's do it. Let's make this a huge quantum leap. So share it with your friends. You know, do a small group. I know this is on December 24th. And, you know, if you're not going to be with family, then create a small family to do the energy work. Let's make it huge. All right. So, hi, Dave. How are you? I'm so excited about tonight.
Hey, Kathy. Yep. Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. Let me tell everybody what you are about. So Dave is an astrologer, a biologist, a spiritual guide, and Oak Island theorist. He's traveled to all 50 states and most of Canada doing research. Now, Dave has studied world religions extensively, along with Eastern medicine, metaphysics, and topics related to extraterrestrial intelligence. So you will not be boring to talk to. So where do you want to start? Okay. I mean, you got some cool charts and I actually pulled some of the charts off too. So where do you want to go? Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we can, you know, I want to try to tie it into world enlightenment since that's the focus, you know, at this moment. Well, really all moments, but, you know, for what you're going after for right now, at least. So, you know, I'll just kind of let everyone know what I'm going to do is, I know we only have about, what, an hour, probably?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I want to do is I want to do, like, a lightning fast crash course in astrology, biology, and it's specifically, like, the Eastern biology. So it's not what you're going to find in North America. This is the Eastern traditions. So, with you know, it's really based in chakras out of India. And then it moved up through, in my opinion, how it worked, I think, is it probably moved up through China and then into, you know, a lot of Asia, but I believe it started in India. So we're going to go over astrology, pretty fast. Well, at least initially, and then we're going to go over, how that connects with the Eastern medicine teachings on the human body. And then the third part is it's really general spirituality, which is, you know, because the thing is I'm really a scientist. So when I approach these subjects, I'm doing it according to the scientific method, which means I put a hypothesis out, I gather information, and then I draw what I call a working conclusion because, you know, it's like, it's basically the best I can possibly do with the information I have. And having said that, I mean, I study every day for hours, every day, you know, for probably the past 13 years. So if something comes before me and it's something that I need to look at, you know, I will look at it seriously. I take all good information seriously. And if it's a challenge to something, a theory I've put out or something like that, you know, I welcome all of those challenges because we're all here to learn and we're trying to put the pieces together of this puzzle, this giant world puzzle, you know? And so in any case, but general spirituality is, you know, just understand for me, what that means is understanding the spirit world, understanding like the dream world, understanding past lives and reincarnation and resurrection, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, your life mission, your life purpose. And so it all does tie in and to world enlightenment. And I always take them as much as one, like a cohesive unit as possible. So we can start with the astrology part, Kathy. If you have the first slide, would be the one that says ecliptic path of the sun. That's probably the second one. Do you have you happen to
Oh,
have?
number one on it. All right.
Yeah, do you happen to have this one?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Right.
Yep, that's one. Great. Okay, so what this is, everyone, this is called the ecliptic. It's the path of the sun. This is exactly what it does every year. Every 365.25 days, you're going through what's called the ecliptic. It's the path of the sun. It's basically the path of the sun as it moves over the constellations. And this is what's going to create your, whatever sun sign you are. This is what creates that. It depends on what part of the ecliptic the sun is moving through. So over all the way on the left, you see it says spring. So the zodiac always starts with Aries in the spring, right around March 20th. And then it's, it starts climbing up. You'll see it gets to the top. If you can see where it says summer, and that's going to be a summer solstice. And then you start losing power and losing light. And then the middle of that diagram is the fall, right in the middle of those two spheres, or the two arcs rather. And then it's going to go, and I should say that central line that's horizontal, that's the equator. So this is the, if you were to look at a world map, you would see this, and you could, if you could see the sun and what it was doing, you would see where it's positioned at the at these different times of year. And you can actually draw it across the world map from the equator up to the Tropic of Cancer, which the reason that it's called the Tropic of Cancer is because that's where the sign of Cancer is. If you could see that, if you guys look close, or you got to pause it or something, but you'll see it at the top. And then it crosses the equator again. That's where you have the equinox, fall equinox, and then at the bottom you're back at the winter solstice. And then you're going to climb up back again to the again to the spring equinox. And it creates a, for all the scientists out there, it creates a sine wave. And we also know, if you put a few things together, that light moves in a sine wave. It actually moves in a sine wave perpendicular, excuse me, it moves in a light wave, and excuse me, it moves in an electric sine wave that's perpendicular to a magnetic sine wave. And that's where you get the vortex. So when you start talking energy work and vortex, you're getting that from how the structure of light, it's actually perpendicular to each other. You got the electric, you got the magnetic, and one is if you're talking about like concepts of alchemy, you're talking about the masculine principle and the feminine principle. The masculine principle is the electric, the feminine principle is the magnetic, and together they create the vortex that is called light or electromagnetism. Okay, we can go to the next slide, Kathy. The next one's going to be, I think, the one that you had before with the one at the top.
That one.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Okay. So basically what happens is when you get the after you get the path of the sun, the ecliptic, you can put those two arcs together. You just slide them together, and then you're going to end up with this. And this is what people are familiar with probably if, when you see the zodiac, or you heard of talk about the zodiac. It's a, it's a circle, and it's really based on 360. The year does have 365 days, 0.25 days. There's many possible reasons for that. I personally believe it's because we're not living in a perfect system right now, or the dimension is a little slightly skewed. So it's pretty darn close to 360, and that is in fact what it's based off of, what the zodiac is based off of. So this is the same diagram, really. It's just in a form that people are probably more familiar with if you have looked into astrology. And it's the same thing. Over on the left side, spring equinox, and then it's going to climb after the spring equinox, which is around March 20th every year. The sun starts, well, it's really starts increasing in power, and that's when you get all of the new growth and the plants pop and everything like that, March and April and May. And then at the very top, you've got the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. And then after that, every day after that, until you get to the winter solstice, which is that right side of the sphere, is the sun is actually dying. And so the mythologies about the sun dying has directly to do with this. It's the fact that you're actually losing, you're actually losing two things. You're losing power The sun is losing power and it's also losing light, which means that every day is going to be shorter than the day before it. So anyway, the sun's dying on that upper right quadrant, and then you get to the fall equinox. Equinox means equal night, which means it's, roughly equal night and equal day. It does depend on latitude. It gets very scientific, but that's the general idea. And then continues dying all the way through the fall season once you've crossed the fall equinox around September 22nd. And then at the very bottom, you've got the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year. And at that point, and actually, I'll just mention this, we're getting close to it, but what I say, the way that I describe it, this is fully what I believe it is in the proper diagram, is that the winter solstice is roughly December 21st every year, and 3.33, 3 1/3 days after December 21st, we have Christmas. And it's called the birth of the sun, which is the sun in the sky. And for your Christian tradition, in addition to that, because for instance, the Gnostics, they knew that. And then there's another level of that, which is that it's a story of Jesus Christ being born on the 25th. Jesus Christ, the Son, SON, in that case. Okay, so in the 24th, Kathy, by the way, okay, I think you said it was the 24th that you're having the Enlightenment Day, right?
Correct.
Which is, it's really interchangeable. 24th, 25th, the solstices and the equinoxes, they can vary by a couple days every year, depending on what part of the cycle you're in. So it's the same idea, is that that's actually the first day, let's say 24th, in this instance, 24th or 25th, where you're actually seeing an increase in light and an increase in power of the sun at the same time. More light every day. And before that, between the December 21, December 24, 25, the sun is actually not losing or gaining any light. It's at a standstill for 3 1/3 days. So that 24th day, that's the first day that you really start seeing a change. It's only a few seconds at the beginning, but it actually increases pretty rapidly as you go on. Okay, so then you're going to continue up that left side, and then you're going to get back to it's now you're in the birth quadrant of the sun, so you're increasing light every day, and then you get back to the spring equinox where the zodiac starts. And it does this every year. This is exactly all the ancient people knew this. It's something that we need to, one of the things I'm trying to do is to present it in the most clear way possible for people, because I know it's not necessarily easy, especially if people haven't seen it before. But if it's taught correctly in the beginning, it's extremely easy. You just have to kind of know what you're talking about. And you have to use words that people understand. I'm not using any big words, there's lots of words in the jargon of astrology and stuff, but I don't have to use it. We can talk in words everyone understands. Because the point is, well, in the past it wasn't necessarily that way, and for all organizations and stuff, but one of my whole purposes is to make sure people understand things in a way that's the easiest to access for a human. So whatever I have to do to get to that point, that's what I do. Where I meet people where they're at. Okay, that's good for that slide, Kathy. We can move to the zodiac, which is similar to that one. And in this next slide, the thing I've done differently is I
This one?
have, yes, right, yep. The thing I've done differently in this slide is I've added all the signs, which are the signs of the zodiac, which is now it's really when you start to get into real astrology.
Okay, let I ask you a question.
Yeah, of course,
When you are born on a cusp of a zodiac sign, what does that mean?
The cusp means, this is again, this is the way that I define it. There's a lot of overlap between how astrologers do things. I work with 100% data. So if I had a question, I say to myself, what does a cusp mean? Well, I go to someone that I know, or I go to someone I can pull up their data on that's on a cusp. And then I look at that data, and then I think about that person. And really what it means is it's really a 50-50 split between the signs that you're in between. So if you're right on the cusp, if you're directly on the cusp, you're going to see you really should actually be reading the sign before and after. And you should figure 50% of the time you're going to be on the one side, 50% you're on the other side. Now, if you move in to a sign and you're like within 7 days of the cusp on either side, then what I say is that you're actually pulling 75% of the sign you're in, but you're close enough to the cusp where you're still getting influence. And so if you're 7 days, on either side, you're still getting 25% of the other sign. So if someone's like, well, that mostly sounds like me, but like a quarter of the time it doesn't, well, then I say, well, it's because you're 7 days before, you're 7 days after. And that ends up influencing you, 25% roughly. So I hope
Okay.
that makes, hope that is
Oh,
pretty
it
clear.
does. I'm July 24th, so I know I'm a cuspy baby. I'm pretty sure it's got to be 50-50.
It is. Yep. That's exactly 50-50. It's right between Cancer and Leo. And it's actually a very special day because it's right. Another way to look at that is you're right in between the influences of the sun and the moon. Now, the sun and the moon, they only rule one sign each, which is the moon rules Cancer and the sun rules Leo. So it's very special because it's a really nice balance of those two energies. It's the ba that is that day, Kathy, is the ba is the perfect balance between the masculine and the feminine energy. If I had to pick one day in the entire zodiac, it's that day, 23rd, 24th.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really nice balance to have that you have access to both sides. You have the moon or you have the sun. It just depends. It depends on circumstances. It depends on your energy that you're pulling, moving through your body on that day. There's a lot of factors. But if you were to split it up and divide it, you would see it's very close to 50-50. It's actually shocking. I mean, it's shocking. However, it is mathematics. And I never would have gotten it. For the listeners, the people who haven't heard about what I do before, or how I do it, I learned astrology in 2015. And before that, I had, many, but really most of my life, my training was in biology. And so I didn't believe astrology was real until I saw someone present it correctly, which is why I'm so adamant about doing it properly, in a scientific manner. And the way he presented it was as a mathematical system. And he, the person I learned from, was showing all of these different things about ways to calculate things. And I saw, talking about how every sign is 30 degrees of the zodiac, 30 times 12, that gets you 360. So it's all divided up perfectly mathematically. And all it takes is, I'd looked at 50, 60 charts. And by the time I finished that, I said, okay, well, you know what? It doesn't matter if I don't want to believe it. Now I have to believe it if I'm a good scientist and I'm a real scientist. Because I'm looking at all these people that I know and all the charts I did. I said, no, this is not possible. I have way too much data for this to not be true. So then that kind of was the springboard to launch into the deep science of it. Okay, so in any case, the zodiac that Kathy has or that you have up, Kathy, is showing you the 12 signs. It's showing you on the outside of that there's a planet. There's seven traditional planets in astrology. And then plus Uranus and Neptune, which makes eight, nine. And then I'll get to it in a minute, but then there's that 10th mysterious planet, which I believe, fully believe, I know what that is after many, many years of research. In astrology, it's usually called Pluto, the 10th planet, but I actually don't think that's the case. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But anyway, on the outside, you'll see Mars rules Aries, Venus rules Taurus, Mercury rules Gemini, all the way around. You also have all the signs have an element associated with them. So you have, of course, fire, earth, air, and water. And then on the inside of that, I wrote cardinal, fixed, and mutable. Each quadrant of the zodiac has a cardinal sign, a fixed sign, and a mutable sign. And what that means is the cardinal sign kicks off the season, the four seasons of the year. So the cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And then the fixed sign is in the middle of each season. And those signs are very stubborn signs. Stubborn signs, you really good luck moving these people. They don't move. Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And then the mutable signs are the ones the last 30 days of the season, which are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, Pisces. So it's all split up perfectly. It's all mathematical. We can go to the next slide, Kathy. That's probably good for now for that.
Okay, let me throw another thing at you. So
Yeah,
now
yeah.
you've got the sun, you've got your moon sign. I mean, you can be on the cuffs. Okay, so how does your, so I'm Leo, Cancer, Leo. So sun, Leo, moon, Cancer. Now, how is that affecting what I do
Okay,
besides
so that's a great question. Okay, so the sun sign is really, it's called your active principle. So when you take action, you're the one like saying, I'm going to do this, and you step forward and you do something. You do that as your sun. Now, your moon sign is when you're taking inaction or when you're being passive. And unless your moon sign is identical to your sun sign, you're going to do it differently. So whatever the moon sign is, when you're being inactive or passive, you're doing it as your moon sign, not your sun sign. I've only met a few people actually that have the same sun and the same moon. And those people are strangely always the same. No matter if they're doing something or they're reacting, they're like the exact same person. Whereas everyone else, if it's different on the moon side, then you're going to have a different interaction when you're doing something passively or inactively or inaction, however you want to say that. And then the ascendant is the personality, and the ascendant is like your the way I kind of describe it, it's kind of like your defense mechanism. It's the mask kind of that you confront the world with. It's not really you, it's just how you interact with the world. The you that hides behind or is that pr that's protected behind the ascendant, that's your sun and your moon. So if I have to give, well, it depends how far people want to go in astrology, really. But if I have to say, if I had to say in order or numbers or whatever, the first thing is you have to know your sun. Obviously, that's why it's the most important. The sun sign is the most important part of your chart, by far, by the way. After all, if we didn't have the sun, we wouldn't have any food. We wouldn't have we would we could we couldn't live. Nothing could live, not according to the current rules. And then it would be your moon, and then it would be your ascendant. So if you're like, well, I don't want to look at all three, well, then please just look at the sun and the moon. Those are the two that you really need to look at. And if you only want to look at one, if you can't, you don't want to go more complex, then just look at your sun sign. And also, Kathy, it really depends on what degree, and this is where it gets very mathematical, what degree you're actually sitting at in your sign. And so obviously, we already know that you're on the cusp. Well, what I would have to see where your moon is sitting too. Because if it's in the center of a sign or that it's on the cusp or it's 7 degrees into it, it makes a big difference. And it's a perfect ratio in terms of how much of what aspect that you're going to be displaying. So and then you get into the aspects, which are like the trines and the sextiles and the squares and the oppositions and all of that. And that depends on the angles. So you have to know there's an order to do this in. And it's not an easy science. You actually have to be, to do astrology properly, you actually have to be a proper scientist and you have to be intuitive at the same time. You
And
can't,
nomad.
oh yeah, exactly. You can't be like, you can't say, hey, I'm just gonna pull this up and I'm not gonna get into a meditative state, or I'm not gonna try to pull from the dream world or whatever, or try to. You also have to be able to talk to the person to get your orientation. So it's a very, very involved discipline, and I'm trying to bring a good name back to it. And what I always say is, people just have to give me about an hour, maximum 2 hours. I don't care what you say after I finish, but I want people to see it done properly. And to do that, like I said, you have to pull in mathematics. If you're not doing mathematics, and after all, mathematics is the language of the universe. That's how things are formed. That's how they maintain their systems and all the stuff.
So can I off the reservation a little bit? And I you pay attention to what's going on, weekly, daily, monthly, and what's going on with all the planets. So what the hell is going on with all the planets that's creating all this wacko stuff?
I think to describe that, I would probably go to the Mayan long count calendar and bring people to that too. In terms of paying attention to the overarching energy right now, because you're right, it's like extremely oppressive and it's shocking. It's absolutely shockingly brutal, up and down, violent, like thrashing. You're right about that, Kathy. So now what I say is, the Mayans said, and by the way, they disappeared. But I guess, we still don't really know what happened to them. And except that either, I guess, their ancestors or maybe in some of the writing, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, but they said that they went back to the Pleiades. So actually, if we're going to believe them, we know what happened to them. And that's a stretch for a lot of people, but in terms of it, if you're talking about metaphysics and dimensions and stuff like that, no, I believe that. I fully believe that actually that's where they went back to. I think they had their epic, so to speak, on Earth. There was a prescribed time for them. Partly probably it was something that they needed to accomplish, or maybe for their own karma or something. And then when it was time, okay, now you get to leave now. And there's lots of ways to do that. It can be in a craft, it can be through a wormhole, it can be through your own pineal gland, which is actually creates a wormhole as well. It can be a phasing of the dimension from outside the system. There's so many ways this can happen. But anyway, they said December 21st, 2012. And everyone's, sitting out there at Chichen Itza. They're watching everything happen on the Yucatan. And people are like, oh, okay, I guess we're okay. Well, I would challenge people to say, well, maybe they knew what they were talking about, because every paradigm, in my opinion, has pretty much collapsed since then, since that date. It's not, you won't necessarily see it completely physically in front of your face, but
Do you remember what the prophecy was?
In terms of, well, it said basically that some people have the interpretation is that it's the end. Some people have it as that it's the end of an age. My friend actually, that I learned astrology from, he believes it was the end of basically all cycles, which is kind of, I mean, that's very intense, because we're talking about the Earth and the Sun are in a cycle. And then you have the Earth system and the Sun, and then you have the star cluster, then you have the galaxy, and then you have the greater galaxy. You have central suns and all kinds of stuff. So supposedly all of the cycles kind of have lined up, and it's a shocking paradigm shift. It's not just the end. Okay, it was the end of the age of Pisces, and it was the beginning of the age of Aquarius, but it's not just that. It's actually the end, I think, of an even bigger cycle that we don't know about. We can't even see. And traditionally, the great cycle is supposed to be 25,920 years, which is one entire cycle around the zodiac. So every 20, roughly 26,000 years, by the way, which is 13 times two.
Is that
And
the
they,
Kali Yuga?
well, that's a little bit different. And I spent a long time, several nights, over the past 5 years, probably, or 10 years, trying to match up the systems of time. And I was sitting right there next, I had them both next to me, and the Yuga system comes from India, and we have Vedic astrology coming out of India, which is it's different from the type of astrology I do, which is Western astrology, also called tropical astrology, but they are both valid. And the way I try to describe it is that it's illustrating different aspects of a cycle. So it just depends on what you're focusing on. And they're not, when you look at a Yuga map, all the Yuga maps, they don't have the zodiac in them. They have, the different, like Treta Yuga and Kali Yuga and all this stuff, and Dvapara Yuga. But it's not really a perfect lineup with the zodiac. So it depends on which system people want to look at. And all I have to say about the astrology that I do is that it's literally never let me down. Not one time. So in the
Well, let's
Western.
explain real quick what Kali Yuga is, in case people don't know. Now, my interpretation is it's a pretty dark time. And, Satya Sai Baba, who is my guru, said we were coming out of that and actually going into the golden age, but we're in the curve.
Well, yeah, exactly, Kathy. The Kali Yuga is the way that it's explained, and me being a Westerner, I'm gonna do the best I can. I have so much respect for people who this is their tradition, but this is the way I understand it, is that actually the Earth and the Sun are at the farthest possible point from the central sun, which I believe is Sirius for our system. That Sirius is the blue star behind our sun. Our sun gets its power from Sirius. If Sirius didn't exist, our sun would not exist. And so it's the furthest in the bigger orbit that we can't even see when it's in Kali Yuga. And so according to that cycle, now we're moving up. Yeah, I agree with you. Now we're moving up towards eventually being as close to the central sun as possible, which is when you experience the golden age. But it's with serious growing pains, obviously. That's how they describe the system, and I love that model. I actually believe it's correct. The most of my wisdom comes out of India. The finest texts in the world are out of India. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot from Egypt because it was either stolen or burned or hidden in secret libraries or other things that I don't even know about. But the nice thing that we do have from Egypt is we do have the astrological tradition. And on top of that, we also have a lot of pictures and, of course, hieroglyphics and visuals that we can look at, piece things together. But in any case, since we're talking about this cycle here, the thing that happens is, or what's happening, part of what's happening now, according to Western astrology, is that we just entered the age of Aquarius. Now, the age of Aquarius is a very cold age. It's characterized by machines. This is the age of the machine, in case anyone's wondering. It's the age of metal. Metal is cold. It's also, if you're looking at someone who's an Aquarius person, their birthday's in the coldest part of the year, which is roughly the first part of February. And that's why, it's because Aquarius is a cold sign. It's not very necessarily welcoming. It keeps to itself, kind of. And so that's, you're seeing the characteristics of that age. The opposite of Aquarius is Leo, which, Leo is the golden age. So therefore, Aquarius has to be the opposite of that. And that's what we're seeing right now. You're seeing the opposite of the golden age. However, the way that I also describe it is that if you look at the yin yang symbol, you have the white part and you have the black part. But inside of each of those larger parts is a small little circle that has the opposite color in it. So the bigger part right now, we're in that black section. But if you're part of the group of people who was trying really hard, who is trying to share good wisdom and trying to improve humanity and help people, then you're part of that little white circle in that big black segment. So you get to, the two opposite signs or opposite ages are mirror images of each other. They're actually, it's on what's called an axis in astrology. They're on the same axis. Leo and Aquarius are on the same axis. So you're going to have a small segment of people that are going to experience a golden age. And that's what we're doing, Kathy. I have all the information that I could possibly want. Obviously I learn something new every day, and I welcome that. But to get this really off to a massive kickstart, and to continue to move the narrative forward in a positive direction. And if we didn't have technology and I didn't have the internet, I could never have done that. And that the internet that comes from Aquarius, it's this digital, I don't want to say fake. I mean, it is kind of like an inauthentic, because Leo is the authentic. Leo is the unabashed shining sun. You can't have that in Aquarius because that's the opposite. That's on the other side of that. So I hope some of that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great. I mean, I hope that gives people some, maybe some, hopefully some peace and better understanding, is that things work dualistically physical realm, and in this system that was designed that way. And most of the time, if it's a legitimate ancient system or ancient science, they are all valid. You just have to understand how they're approaching it. I mean, the Chinese, they use the moon for their zodiac. They're not using the sun. And yet, when I look at my, and that's based on your birth year. And yet, when I look at my birth year, it's like, okay, that describes me. So how is that correct? Vedic is correct and Western is correct, these different types of astrology. It's because these cultures chose to focus on different segments of the master system, which is the stars and the planets. They said, okay, we're going to focus on the year, we're going to focus on, some the houses or the different aspects in Vedic. And I've looked at all of them. I found them all to be accurate. So it's just what it's where you want to go with it. And also you got to make sure that the person you go to knows what they're doing, because if they don't know what they're doing and then you walk away and you say, oh well, I don't believe this, I mean, it might be because they didn't do a good job, and that's unfortunate, you know.
But what is going on right now in the planets that's giving darkness this
Well,
edge?
I don't do a lot of like seasonal forecasts. Usually what I would do is I look at the big picture. So probably the reason I don't do this is because I'm not really concerned about 3 month segment pictures and stuff like that. I'm not even necessarily concerned about yearly pictures. I'm focused on the age, which is the age of Aquarius. But it can actually always be something different, Kathy. You might have, if you're talking larger periods of time, you're generally talking about the outer planets because their orbits take a lot longer. For instance, Saturn's like a 30-year orbit. So if you're looking at those chunks and seeing where that planet is at that particular time, then you can try to pull information out of that. If someone wanted me to look specifically at that, I can definitely do that. But what I know it for right now for me to be is that it's the beginning of Aquarius. It's the opposite of a golden age. It's the age of the machine. I also say this: the age of Aquarius is also about futurism. It's also about progressive, being a progressive time and progressive agenda. So it's a mix of a lot of things, and sometimes you see Leo coming into it as well. But like I said, Kathy, I'd have to look at it, the actual seasonal forecast, and I can do that. We can even talk, afterwards if you want to see specifically some of that.
Well, I know Mercury in retrograde can really throw people off. Now, are there a
Yep.
lot of planets in retrograde right now?
You know what? I haven't. It's crazy.
No.
I haven't looked this week. I haven't even really necessarily looked at this month per se. I value, and here's the reason why, is that, and I can do that. People want to do it, but it's because the individual person is the one that ultimately dictates your actual surroundings in your reality. And this gets into quantum physics and it gets into like some really deep concepts. But what I want to say is that to people is that, sure, if you want to look at your horoscopes, great. But the real thing that I would say, even way above that, is to try to understand how the body works and to how you can manage your energy so that you can harness much higher power than what you're pulling now. And if you can get to that point, you're not going to even have to worry about what's going on in the outside world, because you're going to know exactly what you're here to do. The brain cells, they get turned on. The dormant brain cells, that's why there's what 90% of it dormant. It's because they're not turned on, but they should be if you know what you're doing. If you know how to sci If you really know the science of the body. And by the way, if you had all 100% turned on, you would cease to be physical. You wouldn't be a physical being anymore. And this is part of the design of the solar system and how all this is integrated. And actually, I mean, we could talk all
I know,
night,
but
Kathy.
there's a quick question
Yeah, okay.
that Amy asked. If we are ending the cycles according to the Mayans, shouldn't we end entering into eras altogether, or are we entering the age of Aquarius, just another cycle?
Well, you know what? It is Aquarius. It's entering a traditional cycle, but like I was saying before, it's also entering a larger cycle that we can't even see yet. I wish I could see it. I don't, you know. I'm trying to feel it kind of, and apply what I can to it. But now and here's the other thing that happens, and this is when it starts to get, kind of more than people can handle, really. Is when you start talking about dimensions and copied dimensions, splitting dimensions, quarks and quantum physics and stuff like that, then in a lot of cases, this stuff, a lot of the stuff starts to disappear. That's actually really what I teach is I teach the quantum level. But you know, you can understand systems on lower levels too if that's what people want to do.
Well, that's what you know, normal people want to hear about, because that's about where they get to. All right, so we have about 12 more minutes. Where do you want to go?
Okay. Let's go to the human body chakra system.
Okay.
Okay, so this is what I was just referring to when I say that, you know, what I really want to teach people is about, if I had to choose between astrology and the human body, I would pick the human body. Every single time I pick the human body. I know not everyone wants to do that, but what I want to say to people is that you have a lot more control than you think you have. But we have to understand the system properly. We have to take the ancient sciences properly. We have to believe them, what these people were saying. Okay, so what happens is astrology is in perfect step with biology. This is not something that most scientists are even willing to talk about, which is it's a real shame because we could really figure it out. It's not easy to figure out, but it's also not that hard to figure out. You have to start putting pieces together. And so this diagram is showing you the I'll go over on the far right. I'll start on the far left. The far left are the chakras that I've numbered from 1 to 10. Traditionally, it's 1 to 7, but there's another three, at least another three above your head, if not more, that are invisible. And then what you have are the colors, of course, of the chakras, starting at red, going all the way up to violet. And then the next column are the metals. And these metals correspond to the colors and to the numbers. And then over on the far right, you have the planets. So you can see if you go across this chart, you're starting at the first chakra. Well, that's red. The metal is silver. And the planet is the moon. And that's the best way that you're going to understand trying to pull, you know, physics and general science together. If you want one master system, this is your system, guys. This is the one you want to be looking at. They knew this in the ancient world and they taught it. And so, you know, a lot of people talk about the seventh chakra in terms of being the pinnacle, and it is in some ways. But sitting above that, you actually end up in what's called the eighth chakra. It's also called the eighth sphere, if you're talking about the solar system model. And in the eighth sphere, you have the mind. It's where all the thoughts work through. In the system, you have the entire zodiac exists in the eighth sphere. It's called the fixed stars. So all the constellations, they move as a unit. They don't move separately. They move around the pole star. And then the ninth chakra, or the ninth level of the solar system, is called the dream world. That's where the dream time happens in Australia, the Aboriginal tradition. And it's also called the glass ceiling, or the crystalline sea. And what I believe that is actually a dimensional barrier. And then the 10th sphere, you have the planet X, which is, you know, they said it was, well, they didn't say it was Pluto, but in astrology, it's usually Pluto. I believe it's Nibiru. I believe that we were created, at least in this current iteration, by the Sumerian gods. And I have a lot of reason to believe that, in addition to the mythologies. We can get to some of that too, but... Okay, we can go to the next one, Kathy, where I think we'll just be able to finish. This is great.
Which one's the next one?
The next one is called the Earth Bubble Model.
Earth, okay.
And I was just alluding to this in the last slide. This is actually, if you take that chart and you make it into a like a 3D model, this is what you end up with. And what it is that the Earth... And this is the traditional teaching, everyone. So this is what the ancient people were working with. Now, whether people believe that the Earth is in the center, if it's flat, or if it's a globe, you know, everyone has a different opinions. But this is what I base all of my models off of. This is what all of the ancient people used. And the Earth is in the middle. Generally, it's conceived of as a flat disk. Above that are the 10 spheres. Each of those spheres has a planet associated with it. And then beneath the Earth, you have another 10 spheres. The 10 spheres beneath the Earth are the hells. The 10 spheres above the Earth are the heavens, which makes Earth, you know, basically it makes it purgatory. The Earth is called Midgard. In the Norse tradition, it's called the Middle Garden. because it's halfway between the 10th heaven and the 10th hell. And then over on the right, and so actually the way to think about this is actually concentric spheres around the earth, and it creates this one massive bubble, and the creators are sitting up there in the 10th sphere, and they've created this whole system of dimensions. These are also dimensions. You can think of it that way. The further you go up towards the 10th sphere, the density decreases, and then as you're going down into the hells, the density increases. It means you have less freedom, and the more freedom you have is it actually is a it compares with the density of your body and how much light that you have infused into your cells and how much light you're emitting. Okay, and then I actually at the top of that I wrote the rest of the universe because this is one system. This is our solar system. It's one, we have there's so many components to it, but it's one system in infinite systems. If you want to see the rest of the universe, you have to get outside of this bubble. You got to get past the 10th sphere. Okay, we can go to the next one, Kathy.
Which one is that?
Oh, I'm
This one?
sorry. Yes, it's that one, but actually it's the one that is oriented horizontally first.
This one?
Yeah, yes, right. Okay, so we went over astrology, we went over the human body. You can see how they match up. It's a, obviously it's a really a crash course, but it's I'm just pleased that we can even get through this in an hour. It's really great. So what you have is this one is the electromagnetic spectrum. This is what you learned in high school science. This is it's light. Electromagnetism is light. You want another word for it, it's just light. So the very middle of that spectrum. Oh, okay. So actually, let me just qualify something. So we talked about astrology. We talked about the human body. This for me is where general spirituality comes in, and where you talk about energy and how energy works and how energy moves. So the very center of this, the spectrum, is the visible light spectrum. That's where we live in, and you can see it's a seven colors. It's composed of the seven colors. But what people don't often think about, or maybe they do, I don't know. Is that you have all this light that is not visible. And the light above visible is the UV, X-ray, and gamma. We can't see them, but we know they're there. I mean, that's why X-rays work. That's why gamma rays come out of the sun. And then below that, you have the infrared, microwave, and radio waves, which are lower energy than visible light. And all of those energies we cannot see, but you can feel them. And if you're feeling infrared, it's going to feel like heat. And then as you're going further down that, we use radio waves for broadcasting, everything like that. So what I'm suggesting is that this is actually a good way to think about heaven and hell. And the visible light spectrum, again, it's purgatory. It's right in the middle. It's where we live. And then if you're feeling UV energy and X-ray energy and gamma energy, you probably could conceive of that as angels or angelic energy. Truly angelic, not like the fallen angels or anything like that. I'm saying like the Arcturians types like that. And then if you're going down the other way, you're going to end up in the demonic realm, probably the alien realm. They have bodies, we just can't see them. But if something's in the room and you feel a little strange, or actually the better off is and you feel good, I would say there's probably something there in a form that's made of a different light wave than invisible. So they are there. We just can't see them. Okay, and then the next one, Kathy, was the one that you had up before that. And this is the one that all I did is I just turned it 90 degrees, and now you can see it's the same exact system that it corresponds. They all correspond to each other. If you're looking at astrology or biology or general spirituality, you're going to see how everything, the spiritual world, fits in. Okay, and then I think we got one more picture. Yeah, exactly. Okay, great. So anyway, I mentioned Chichen Itza before. This is the Mayan pyramid in the Yucatan Peninsula, and it's one of those things where I might not have, or we might not all have access to a lot of good texts. They used to have some. We also have to remember that a lot of the traditions didn't—they didn't need texts because they're all oral traditions. But what they did, and what I can see that they did, is they left visual information for us. And you'll see that this pyramid has 10 levels, the same 10 levels I was just talking about. It's got all the days of the year that are represented on each of these steps. You've got 90, 90, 90, 90 steps, 360. No, not, excuse me, 91 steps per side. And then the top platform makes 365 if you add them all together. So what they did is they just made a model of the solar system right there for us to see. And of course, it had other, you know, it had other functions as well, but that's the primary for me. When I look at that, I say, okay, they knew exactly what they were talking about. That top platform, you know, that's the top of the solar system. That's where the creators exist.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
This has gone by quick.
Oh, I'm so pleased we got through it. It was great.
How can people get a hold of you? You know, you do charts for people, right?
Right, I do birth charts, I do relationship matching, I do work for businesses, I do you know, so I if people want me to look ahead in particular dates and stuff like that, I can select dates for people. I also do a lot with Eastern medicine and with natural healing methods like fasting, in terms of what foods that you choose as you're fasting or after you're fasting to bring it's really the tenets of it's like pre-Ayurvedic medicine. It's that you have to get the fluid to move freely through your body. And if you have energy blocks or you have dense fluid or you have toxins or pathogens that are stuck, well, you need to get it to flow freely so you can make it flow out. Then you have to restructure your cellular, you know, system by eating the proper things. And then I also just do general spirituality things. You know, if someone says they had a dream and they want to understand what it meant, or if they had something that happened, a supernatural event, to try to bring understanding to it. The nice thing is that I can tie in all the disciplines. So if it's something that it might be, it's probably, if it's a big event in your life, it's going to be in your chart somewhere. And if it affects your body, that's going to line up with the aspect of your body. And that's also going to line up with the general spiritual world, depending on
Okay,
what it
how
is.
do they find you?
Okay, so Facebook. Go to Dave Petrella. That's my last name is P like Peter, Etrella. I'm on Instagram, Dave Petrella 12. I'm on LinkedIn. It's under Dave Petrella. You'll see they're all the same pictures, so you know you can see me. If people want to email me, Dave Petrella at hotmail.com. I check all of them, so just you know, just let me know.
Cool. Well, God, thank you. I want to talk to you later because I want a chart done.
Oh, sure. Yep, of course.
But that's it, guys. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you learned something tonight. This is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPR and Radio. And this is Friday, November 26th. We will catch you next week, same time, same place, and be ready to start doing more energy work. On that note, aloha. Good night. Good night,
Thanks,
Dave.
Kathy. Yep, nice guys.